Church.
Good morning.
I will be reading Isaiah 61 in the New International Version, and if you're opening that up in your pew Bibles, it will be on page 1157. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities and that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work in your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of in their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and the everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them, make them an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as his bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Before we pray, I was struck this morning by a New York Times article about the baby Jesus being stolen from nativity scenes all over the country. And churches are putting in security cameras and securing Jesus into their nativity scenes. But I was struck by one pastor from West Virginia who decided that their church would just put a new Jesus in, because he said, what could be better than somebody taking Jesus home for Christmas? So let's pray in that spirit. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of gathering here in this place of worship. Gather as family seeking after you. Pray for Jeremy this morning with this chapter from Isaiah, and just pray that you will work in and through him by your Spirit and through your word. Inspire us to take Jesus home. To take Jesus home this Christmas, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jamie.
Well, I guess I won't be using that article as my opener on Christmas Eve. Thanks, Jamie. Stealing all the good stuff. Just kidding. I encourage you to have your Bibles open to Isaiah 61 as we walk through this awesome passage this morning. And as you think about that and the way it starts, I want you to think about the shepherds and the angel that showed up. Can you remember what the angel said to the shepherds when the angel showed up? The scripture says, on the night of Jesus' birth, there were shepherds in the fields nearby, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. I love that. And for us, when we hear that, we know the whole story because of God's gift of the Scriptures to us. We know the whole story of who Jesus is and what Jesus did in His life and in His death and in His resurrection and what He will do when He comes again in absolute victory. So when we hear that good news of great joy, we often think of the incredible grace that God has shown to us in and through the living Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder what the shepherds were thinking of when they heard good news of great joy. And I can't help but think that maybe in their heads, when they heard that phrase, good news of great joy, they thought of the passage from Isaiah that they had heard in synagogue, Isaiah 61, that starts out speaking of good news for people just like them. Good news of great joy. We've, you know, spent this whole season of Advent listening to Isaiah prophesy about the Messiah who would come and what the Messiah would do, the advent of the Messiah and the work of the Messiah. And we've seen in Isaiah's prophecies that this Messiah would bring a kingdom, would bring the kingdom of God. And we've seen that kingdom, yeah, we've seen the picture of that kingdom, and it's a beautiful and awesome and amazing kingdom. And we've recognized that Advent doesn't just remind us of what it was like for them to wait for the Messiah to come back then. But Advent also reminds us that we wait for that kingdom to come in all of its fullness. Yes, Jesus has initiated the kingdom, but the kingdom isn't yet here in all of its fullness. But when it does come, and even where it is and how we do experience it now, we see that the kingdom is good and wonderful and transformational. And our prayer has been in this time when we've been looking at these Isaiah prophecies that God would use that in our lives to stir in us a vision, that we would catch that vision of how awesome the kingdom of God is, and that from that picture and that inspiring picture of what the kingdom is, we would be full of passion to be a part of that kingdom, and that out of that passion would come commitment. That we as a church would walk as individuals and corporately together to pursue that kingdom, to seek that kingdom first, to be a part of what God is doing as we understand and get a picture of that kingdom. And that's why I'm so excited to look at this passage from Isaiah. There were so many times in this week when I was just in this passage, when I just felt like the Spirit of God just touched me with the incredible good news of this passage. And I pray that God does the same thing to you today, as it gives us another incredible picture of what the kingdom of God is really like. So, context really quick. We've been all over Isaiah. We started early in chapter 9, and then we went to chapter 40, and then 53, and now we're in chapter 60. Obviously, chapter 61, is at the end of Isaiah. It's kind of in this new section where the last two chapters that we looked at, 40 and 53, were kind of in this section that focused on the people that would be in exile. This is now not really connected with any particular place and time. It's not doesn't necessarily connect right with the people in exile. It's more general in its focus for the people of God who are looking to God, looking for the God's kingdom to arrive. And as they do, there's this incredible announcement. Now, the announcement that comes may not look as much like an announcement about a Messiah as some of the others have. It doesn't talk to us about a child being born. It doesn't speak of a servant who would give his life as a ransom for many. But this is a messianic text. And the reason I can say it is a text about the Messiah is because when the Messiah came, this is the text that he chose to start out his ministry by reading. When Jesus showed up in his hometown in Nazareth and went into the synagogue, we read about it in Luke chapter 4. He stepped up to read the scripture and he looked in the scripture for this particular passage. And he read from Isaiah 61 about the first 3.5 verses. And then he sat down and you remember what he said when he sat down? Luke says that every eye was peeled on him, waiting to see what he would say because he's kind of stopped mid-verse. And as he sat down, he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus himself connected himself with this text. And not just to say that he was coming to speak in the same way about these things that this text comes, but he was actually saying that he himself was the fulfillment of it, that he wasn't only the prophet speaking about good news, but that he himself is the good news of God, here to initiate this kingdom pictured here in Isaiah 61. So let's look at it together. It starts out in the voice of the prophet speaking in verse 1 by saying, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me." So the prophet is chosen and empowered by God to do something in particular. And what is that particular thing that the prophet is anointed by God to do? Preach, right? He's anointed to preach, but not in a way that just kind of disappears into thin air, or not in a way that you just forget when you walk out the doors of amnesia. No, this kind of preaching that this prophet was doing was preaching that was effective, preaching that was actually going to cause something to happen, preaching that was going to bring into reality a new reality. And you can see that by just looking at the six verbs in the next very long sentence. See if you can track the verbs in that sentence. Bind, proclaim, proclaim, comfort, provide, and bestow. It reminds us that of the power of words. This is why, church, that we value the tradition of the preached word. We value the preached word in our tradition because we believe the preached word with the anointing of God actually does something. It actually brings transformation. It actually makes things happen, not because of the preacher, but because of the anointing of God to work through the words that come. The good news to be preached here to the poor is actually effective by the anointing of God to bind up the brokenhearted. It actually is effective to give freedom for the captives and release from darkness. It's not just words that are interesting, but this proclamation does something. This proclamation of the Lord's favor that comes through His judgment is effective to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, and even to bestow or to give or to present to them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. What good news! And it's effective to change them. It's effective to transform them. And what a good transformation it is. Healing and freedom and release and comfort and beauty and gladness and praise. This is what the kingdom of God is like, church. And this is the work that God does in Christ through the proclamation of His kingdom. How good is our God that these are the things that demonstrate His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And the next verses help us understand the result of that transformation. Starting at the end of verse 3, it says, "They will be called, they the people who were like this, they will now be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the place long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd their flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. And you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations. And in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs." Wow. So the people who were poor and brokenhearted, the people who were captives and prisoners, the people who were mourning and grieving, the people who were covered in ashes and despair, in God's kingdom, they now have a new identity. And in that new identity, they have a new purpose. You can see it right there in that passage. Their new identity says they will be called what? Oaks of righteousness. One of the things I love about our valley is the amazing oak trees that we have in our valley. Can you think of one in your head right now? Picture an amazing oak tree. Can you see it? Is it big? Is it beautiful? What Isaiah is saying here is, you who once were pitiful or broken or mourning or grieving or marginalized, now you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be grand. You're going to be strong. You're going to be lasting. You're going to be productive. Isn't that an awesome picture? You're going to be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. No longer is their identity shame. No longer is their identity disgrace. And in verse 6, it says that they will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. That points to their purpose. You see, as priests of the Lord, they will help the world know who God is and how to live God's way. As ministers of God, they will actually do the work of God in the world on God's behalf. And what is that work? Well, I think it's found right there in verse 4. Amazing. Amazing. It says the work is to rebuild and to restore and to renew. The kingdom of God, church, is about rebuilding what's been broken down. It's about restoring what's been left for wasteland. It's about renewing what has been ruined. And of course, we know that God is the ultimate builder, that God is the one who actually enacts the real changes. But God uses His people, it says here. He's going to use His people in the process. So He gives them a new identity and He gives them a new purpose so that they can participate in His redeeming transformation, the transformation of His kingdom coming. So in these first 7 verses, we see the substance, the content of this incredibly good news of great joy that the prophet has announced and anointed to preach. It's good news that actually changes people and is effective for changing people. And it gives them that new identity. It gives them that new purpose. But not just people individually. This good news changes communities. It changes relationships. It changes families. It changes neighborhoods and cities and even the world. And all that change that comes from the kingdom of God, or as the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, is consistent with the character of God. And I think that's what we see in the next 2 verses, verses 8 and 9. See right here, the voice of the prophet, the voice of the prophecy changes. It changes now directly to the voice of the Lord Himself. Did you catch that? It says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed." So the kingdom of God is consistent with the character of God. And church, that's why the kingdom of God is so good. That's why the kingdom of God is so good. God loves justice. And so the kingdom of God is a kingdom of justice. God hates robbery and iniquity. So the kingdom of God has no robbery, has no iniquity, has no sinfulness. God is faithful to His covenant. And so the kingdom of God is secure and everlasting. God is good. And so those who submit to His kingdom will be blessed. And none of these things in Isaiah 61 would happen if they were inconsistent with the character of who God is. We see the heart of God in this chapter. God is the one who restores and rebuilds and renews. God is the one who comforts and God is the one who provides. God is the one who gives freedom and release. God is the one who redeems. The kingdom is consistent with His character. It reveals who He is and what He's about. And then finally, in these last 2 verses, the voice changes one more time. Did you hear that? The voice changes to the voice of one redeemed. One who has been redeemed. One who has experienced this good news of God, this transformation of God, this redemptive power of God, of the gospel. One who's been changed by it. One who's learned also to trust in the promises of God. Look at those last verses together. Now in a new voice of one redeemed, the prophet says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So the result of one's life being redeemed is delighting and rejoicing in God for all that He has done and all that He has initiated in grace and love. The result is true worship. My soul rejoices. I delight greatly. True worship in God. But also the result is true faith. Faith in the promise of God. Faith that can say with certainty that as surely as the sprouts come out of the dirt, so God will make His kingdom spring up before all nations. God is bringing His kingdom. Nothing is going to get in the way of it. Nothing will stop it. The kingdom is coming. Hallelujah. And so the chapter starts with the voice of the prophet proclaiming the life-changing good news of God. That's verses 1 through 7. And then verses 8 and 9 shows God's affirmation of the good news as it's a part of His own character, and then ends in the voice of one redeemed who delights and rejoices in God while declaring the promise of God and the victory of God and the coming of God's kingdom. And what I think is so clear in this passage is what has been clear all along through Isaiah, is that this kingdom of God has this incredible healing quality in it. The coming of God's kingdom is good news for the poor. It's good news for the marginalized. It's good news for the victims of injustice. And it binds up the brokenhearted, those who have been wounded and hurt. It is comfort for those who grieve. It brings freedom from addiction and enslavement. It rebuilds and it restores what is broken and what is devastated, it renews. It removes shame and it removes disgrace and it replaces it with righteousness and blessing. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of wholeness. And when God draws people like you and me into His kingdom by His grace given through Jesus, He heals people into it. The only way that we can participate in the kingdom of God as described here is if Jesus heals us into it. None of us can pull our own stuff together in a way that we can access on our own the kingdom of God or earn our own righteousness. We rely completely on the saving work of the Savior to renew and restore and bind up and heal what is broken in us so that we can participate in that kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. When Jesus stood up in that Nazareth synagogue and read the opening verses of that prophecy, He wasn't only declaring that He had come to preach about this good news, but when He said that the prophecy was fulfilled in their hearing, He was saying that He Himself was the Savior. He Himself was the Messiah, the one who would be called, as Isaiah 9 says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was the one who was the suffering servant whose wounds, His wounds would be our healing from Isaiah 53. And He was the one that was Himself the good news of Isaiah 61. He had come, the healer had come to initiate God's kingdom, not just in words, but also in deed and action, all the way to giving of His own life on the cross. And beloved, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus, you and I, we can experience the healing of God in our lives as we increasingly submit ourselves to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus. We can experience the healing of God in our lives as we increasingly submit ourselves to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus. So, what are the broken things of your life? What are the broken relationships? What are the injustices? What is the harm that you have caused? What are the wounds of your life? What are the sins that continue to pester you? What is the unbelief that continues to hold you back. Beloved, Jesus came to bring healing and wholeness in those very places. He came to give you release and hope and freedom. He came to remove disgrace and despair. He came to have you be a part of His rebuilding and His restoring and His renewing. And that's what we want to be about. That's what we want to be about as a church that follows Jesus Christ. A church that proclaims Jesus as our Lord, as people who follow Him. That's what we want to be about as well, right? And so one of the questions that this passage raises for any one of us who follows Jesus is this. How are you moving toward that healing work of God? How are you actually participating in the healing work of God? The healing of work of God that He wants to do in you. And then the healing work that God, after He's done in you, wants to do through you, so that others will come to know the healing work of God as well, so that others will experience the kingdom of God. And that's actually so clear in this passage. Let's look again at the end of verse 3 when it says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for what? The display of His splendor. And then in verse 11 it says, as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise do what? Spring up before all nations. Do you see the connection between those two verses? Verse 3 talks about that new identity that God gives to us. He makes us into oaks of righteousness, but not just for our own sake, for the splendor, the display of His splendor, the showing of others of His splendor, for His glory, for the manifestation of His kingdom. So when Jesus has His way in our lives, when Jesus works His healing in our lives, when as we put our faith in Him, as we submit to Him, and He makes us into oaks of righteousness, that's awesome for us. It's amazing. It's freedom. It's what we've always ultimately needed. But it's not just for us. It's not just for our own benefit. He does it for the display of His splendor. And in verse 11, when it talks about the sovereign Lord making righteousness and praise spring up before all nations, how will God make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations? He will do it by making us into oaks of righteousness that display His glory for the nations to see through His church, through His people. So all that to say, beloved, Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. That's why He left the glory of heaven and came to be born in that dirty manger room. To bring that kingdom on earth as it is in heaven requires a tremendous work of healing. Healing from the brokenness of our sin and all that sin has caused in our world. Jesus is the one who brings that healing through His life, death, resurrection, and through His imminent return. And so when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate that the healer has come. And that His people, as His people, we're invited to participate in that healing for the work that He wants to do in us and for the work that He wants to do through us. And so this Christmas, church, may we be a church that in our celebration of the fact, may our Christmas be a celebration of the fact that the healer has come. And part of that celebration wouldn't just be, yay, the healer has come, but part of that celebration would be a commitment in us to move towards that healing together. To move towards that healing individually, to say, you know what? This is the year ahead when I'm not going to ignore that thing in my life that I've been trying to push aside and hope nobody notices. This would be the year that we pursue wholeness together as a congregation. This is the year that we would pursue wholeness in our city as an evidence of His kingdom coming. Not that we haven't ever done it before, but that this year we would move towards that healing in a new and intentional way because of the vision that God has given us in the Scripture of how awesome and amazing the kingdom of God is. And the passion that He's stirred up in us. And out of that passion and vision comes commitment to walk in that, so that we would be moving towards the healing that's still out in front of us, so that through us the splendor of God would be made known, that the picture of this kingdom would be seen in us, that we, church, First Presbyterian Church Fresno, will be part of the righteousness and the praise that springs up before the nations to see. So if you're a person today who doesn't have a vision for that kingdom, who isn't stirred, it doesn't sense any passion for moving toward the healing that Jesus came to bring, then I just invite you to be a person that prays for God to give that to you. We need God to give us that passion, that vision, that commitment. We need God to stir that in us and give it to us. So if that's not happening in you already, would you pray that God brings that kind of passion and commitment in your life, so that we can be part of what God wants to do for His kingdom to come and for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that we can be a part of the good news of great joy that Jesus came to bring. Let's pray and ask God to help us do that. Lord Jesus, we say thank you, Father. Thank you for how awesome the kingdom of God is. Lord, and I pray that you would just stir in us in a powerful way with the beauty of the kingdom. That as we read these scriptures, we would be brought to tears of joy. That we would be brought into a place of worship and admiration and rejoicing and delighting in you because of how good you are and how good and awesome your kingdom is and how much good news it is for us and for our world. That we would be alive in the Spirit with passion and excitement for that kingdom of God to come. And that out of that, God, would you please, by your Spirit, by your anointing, bring in us, Father, a commitment to move toward the healing that you are bringing. God, and as we do that, no matter how awkward it is, no matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult it might be, that as we do that, as we participate in your kingdom coming, God, by your grace, would you allow us to experience the joy that you brought to the world? The joy that comes from being people who once were in despair and disgrace and shame, who now have righteousness and blessing and honor, who once were poor and broken, heartbroken and grieving and mourning, but now are oaks of righteousness, displaying the splendor of God. Allow us to celebrate the joy to the world that Jesus came to bring. We ask all of it for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, may this be a week that your heart sings no other name but the name of Jesus. That you celebrate who He is, that He is the healer who has come to bring His awesome kingdom and inviting you to be a part of it. And remember to move towards that healing by His Spirit. As you go, receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. Remember that the prayer team is here. Love for you to pray with them. And then come tomorrow night. It's going to be a great celebration. See you then.